Genesis chapter 18, though, gives us a picture of something that we as fathers ought to take notice of. It's tucked into a story. I've mentioned it before. There's some times that we find a little nugget stuck into a story or into a passage of Scripture that seems to be a gem in the midst of some mud or something. And here's one of them, because here in this passage, the story is unfolding about Sodom and Gomorrah, the stench that reached up into heaven before God. And as the heavenly beings were making their way to see if it was really as bad as what the stench would appear it to be, make it appear to be, they stopped off at Abraham's tent, went by his place, and Abraham went out, called them to his residency, and asked them to sit down and rest for a while and provide some refreshment for them. Verse number 19 is what gives us this little glimpse into something that I believe that God had especially in mind for men, for us dads, if we look at it properly. And it says this: "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." God had a lot of faith and trust in Abraham. It would appear that Abraham held God in high esteem, great confidence, great trust, complete trust sometimes. Sometimes Abraham backed up a little bit and was trusting of the human more than he trusted the divine. But there were times that you cannot lay a finger on Abraham's trusting of God. Here we see that God is speaking about him. "I know him that he will command his children and his household after him." I think it's an incredible commentary as you look at the life of Abraham and how he sends his servant to go into the homeland to find a wife for Isaac. I think that is a tremendous commentary when you look at what is taking place in this servant's life and how he too trusted in the God of Abraham. It wasn't just something that was spoken. It wasn't just something that he was ad-libbing at the time of need, but it appears that he lived that way, and God rewarded him. What a powerful reward that he had, because his prayer was quickly answered, and there was no wasting of time. And they moved on quickly and brought this bride back for Isaac. Apparently, he selected well. God directed him, and he selected well. Abraham didn't have anything to say about Rebekah. He left it all up to his servant. Now, I only have one child married, and I've been around a while to know that some dads are hesitant to give their daughter's hand over in marriage, and then there's some dads that just oppose it. Maybe the daughter goes ahead and does it, but they oppose it. But then I also know of some that if they were to attempt to hand pick somebody, that they couldn't find anybody any better than the one that their son selected. There's a lot of dads here, and maybe there's quite a few daughter-in-laws in that mix. You know, that's a pretty incredible thing to say that you are so much in approval of the marriage that you couldn't have picked anybody any better. That's pretty good. You're probably sitting there wondering, which category am I in? Maybe I'll let you wonder about that for a while, if you don't already know. Abraham would appear to be in that last category, that he was fully okay, supportive, approval of that wedding. To this day, when we look at Israel and we talk about the God of Israel, we commonly, probably because it's in Scripture, but we commonly refer to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, I know that we can look at some things. You know, Isaac may not have been the greatest of fathers. He had those boys, and one of them was wayward, and one of them was wayward. And if it wasn't for Rebekah, the other wayward one would have probably still been wayward. I'm talking about Jacob and Esau, Esau and Jacob. You know, Jacob was a wayward boy, but he came back. He had a vision. God gave him a vision. God spoke to him and began to restore or to make a relationship. And so we see Jacob in that line, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. That's a tremendous statement about a dad, a father. For those of us that are dads here today, maybe quite a few of us are beyond that point of raising our children. We're either in the empty nest place or nearing very close to that point. But there's a lot here that are still in the mix of training, raising, and instructing your children. Take notice of this. All of us take notice of this. That here was something that God was commending Abraham for, that you and I can take to our own account and say, I want to be like that. We have a very short time to get that done. And it must be accomplished quickly. And in order for it to be accomplished quickly, it must be started early. We can't wait. We think about dads and we think about the faithfulness of dads. As we see, Abraham is considered to be the father of the faithful. And we think about the faithfulness of dads, the faithfulness of our fathers. Not everybody can testify to a faithful dad. But that is the goal. That is what we present today. That is what we're looking at today. There's probably far more. Well, there is far more children of fathers here today than there are fathers. Because every one of us have a father or had a father, and we still call them to remembrance. They may be gone, but we still hear their words. Somebody said that I used to listen with my ears to what my father had to say, but now, as an adult, I listen with my heart. Do you find that to be the case as we get older? We heard Dad speak back in the day with our ears. We paid attention with our ears, but now we hear him. Even in his absence, we can hear him with our heart. The faithfulness of dads. I've referred to Proverbs 10:1 and nearly every baby dedication that I've done. We just had one last Sunday, so it'll be fresh in your mind. But Proverbs 10:1 would tell us that a wise son maketh a father glad. He repeats that. The proverb writer repeats that in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 20. A wise son maketh a glad father. So we want to shift a little bit here, and now we're going to talk to the kids for a little bit. Since we're all the son or the daughter of a dad, we're all spoken to today, the kids. Don't you like to be called a kid? The little ones may be okay with it. The middle-aged ones don't care to be called a kid. Maybe we older ones enjoy being called a kid, especially after youth camp. A wise son. Let me change that word son to include all of us. Sons and daughters. A wise child is gladness to the father. It's a rejoicing time to the father. We all like to talk about our dad, some good things about our dad. We try to find something good to say about our dad. Sometimes we may have to overlook some negative things. Maybe somewhere along the line, dad whipped me instead of the kid that really deserved it. We overlook that from time to time, especially on Father's Day. We forget about that and we just focus on his good things. We can even tell dad that we love him. We can even give him a gift. Maybe we have even spent more than what we've ever spent on the gift this year for our dad. Or at some point, you spent way over the top for a gift for a dad, for your dad, in order to express your appreciation, your love, your care, and thankfulness for your dad. What is it, though, that really speaks to a dad who has been faithful? Well, the proverb writer here two different times would say that a child who is wise makes the heart of dad rejoice. That's why I said earlier in the service, at the beginning of the service, that I'm grateful, I'm thankful, I'm rejoicing today for the privilege that I've had this past week to work with my kids in ministry. There's really no greater thing for me. That's a gift. I'm blessed beyond what I deserve. A wise child maketh a glad father. Now, the proverb writer gives us in a couple other passages what he means by a wise child or a wise son in that particular context of the King James. But I want us to look at it as the whole, everybody, boys and girls, sons and daughters. He gives us a couple of defining moments that would express what he means by a wise child. And first of all, I can look at Proverbs 13:1. 13:1 says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. So children, young and old alike, if we really want to honor our dad, not just on Father's Day, but if we really want to honor our dad, then it would be good for us to hear his instruction and to take heed to his rebuke. Sad to say, there really needs to be a disclaimer wrapped to this. Because not all dads are worthy of listening to their instruction or their rebuke. They've destroyed that respect. But I'm looking at kids today. I'm looking at children today and teenagers today that are not feeling that. I can't see how any child or teenager here today could possibly say that their dad has reached that point that they should not listen. As a matter of fact, I think it's a very, very serious thing when we reach that point. So kids, are you hearing me today? If you want to honor your dad, then do the best thing to honor your dad by following his instruction and hearing his rebuke. Listening to him when he gives correction and when he gives instruction and when he gives a challenge to do something and maybe do it better. You see, that's what the proverb writer here is speaking about. A wise son maketh a glad father. A wise child maketh a glad father. A wise child heareth his father's instruction. Not only does the proverb writer give us a defining element right there in that of listening to a father's instruction, but he also gives us a little bit different of instruction or of a challenge to hear in chapter 10 and verse 5. He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son. What does that mean? Well, it would mean that the son or the child, as a wise person honoring the parent, dare I say it, in 2018, is it okay to still talk about work ethic in 2018? Dads, are we teaching our children a good work ethic? Or are they allowed to play video games all day? It's amazing. I just came from youth camp, so maybe it's too fresh. But it's amazing how many people don't know how to work. I'm talking about young people that don't know how to take their trash from here to the receptacle 5 feet away. They'd rather throw it on the ground for somebody else to pick up or just to leave it sitting on the table instead of taking it as they go out the door past the receptacle of trash and put it in. It's amazing. You say, well, that's ridiculous. It's the beginning of a work ethic that we have lost an entire generation to, practically. I'm overwhelmed by it. And when I look at it from that aspect, I can't help but wonder if the work ethic is diminished in their entire life, if they can't throw out their trash. You remember when Dr. Avery was here and he was talking about some things and he used the simple thing of flossing your teeth as the beginning of a disciplined life. Something as simple and in some people's minds useless as that. Kids, don't go home and tell your moms and dads that I said that it's useless to floss your teeth. I'm not saying that. I'm saying some people would say that. When mom or dad tell you to get your teeth flossed, go floss them. I'm talking about the simple things in life change the great big things in life. And when we do not have a work ethic simple enough to throw our own trash away. I'm too close to youth camp to be talking about this. A wise son gathereth in the summer. My dad worked hard to get me to work hard. My dad was very successful at keeping it to the point where I wasn't afraid of work. I could lay down beside work all through my teenage years and go to sleep. I was never afraid of work. But it was after I left home that I began to realize what Dad was trying to get into my thick skull, and the seat of my britches bore the brunt of that unreceived instruction so often. So he works. She works. She knows what it is. He knows what it is to have some duties around the home, some responsibilities around the home, or maybe it's that bad word that kids don't like anymore, and chores around the home. Chores. Do your kids have chores? If they don't have chores, then the first chore they could have, let me suggest, would be the removal of the trash from the kitchen trash can. That's a good chore for a kid to learn to do. And if that's not enough, then it's probably not. Then give them something else to do, like vacuuming. Amen. Parents, say amen right there. While I had three kids at home, my wife should never have to touch the vacuum. That's my opinion. You can throw it out if you want. You say you had two sons. I don't care if I had three sons. My wife should never have to touch the vacuum while I had three kids at home. Well, let's move on. Surely we can find something else. We've talked about a wise son heareth his father's instruction, and a wise son is one that gathers in the summer. He has a good work ethic. He knows what it is to do chores and to carry responsibility. Maybe I should spend a little bit of time talking about what happens when that child doesn't carry the responsibility. Is there consequences to that? Say amen right there, moms and dads. Let me look at one more thing. Proverbs 28:7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. That's self-explanatory, isn't it? I could give you examples of people, of sons and daughters that are in prison or in jail today. Good people that have gone astray. I could give you examples of bad people who are in jail today. It doesn't matter if they're a good or a bad person. If they find themselves in jail or in prison, it's grief to the father's heart. I probably shouldn't say, even shouldn't use personal examples or examples of my children from the pulpit. You know, that's a shameful thing to do for a pastor, and yet that's our life, that's all we know, and so it's easy to use our kids as an example. And my kid's not here to defend herself. Whoops, I wasn't supposed to say who it was. She just had a birthday recently. And with that birthday, her driver's license expired. And she didn't get them renewed before we went for youth camp. Yeah, so here she is driving off to youth camp 141 miles away without a driver, legal driver's license. It's not a good thing, is it? Don't anybody say I said it, okay? We don't need to talk about it to her. At least not in my presence. She'll come back and get me no matter what. But the defining portion here of what a wise son is, as we looked at in Proverbs 10:1, that a wise child maketh a glad father, is then defined in chapter 28 as a person who is a good citizen. Not only do they listen to father's instruction and carry and pay attention to the rebuke of the father, not only do they have a good work ethic, but if they do those two things, this third one will fall into place as well. But here we find that this third element of defining a wise child is a person who is a good citizen, a conscientious citizen. One who wants to do what is right and to be a benefit to society, not a burden to society. Kids, are you hearing me? If you want to honor your parents, if you want to honor your dad, especially on Father's Day, but 365 days of the year is what I believe the proverb writer is talking about. And that is that if we want to honor our dad, that we should do these things. Listen to his words, pay attention to his rebukes, allow him to instruct us to have a good work ethic, and also to be productive in society. Not a detriment or a burden. So as we think about fathers today, and maybe some don't want to think about their father, And I know that that's the case sometimes. But children, as I look around here this morning, we are blessed to have such good dads here today. Dads that care for their kids and do their best to teach their children. Let's honor them. Let's honor them, not only today, but every day, by listening to what they say, to do what they say. A wise son maketh a father's heart glad. A wise son is defined by one who receives the instruction of the father, has and develops a good work ethic, and is also a blessing in society. Thank you, dads, for all that you do in training children, even though it's not a common thing in our culture today. Let's take it by the job and do our best by God's help. Let's stand together this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Brian, would you dismiss us in prayer this morning?